big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host, and this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today we're going back to digital world and online world, and we're looking at websites. And to help us look at websites, I've invited my friend Justin Nava back in. And Justin is a guru of websites. He is my go-to person actually for websites. And he's going to be talking to us about three things that your church and your ministry can be doing right now to improve upon your website. Three trends that are happening right now that are so important for your church or for your ministry if you have a website for those to be, well, if you have a website, you should have a website for your church specifically, but also then for your ministry, how to optimize them best. What are the trends that are happening? What are things that he's seeing that churches should be doing? And we're going to be talking about that. So without further ado, let's get into the conversation now with Justin Nava talking about website trends. All right, with me right now is Justin Nava. Justin, how are you?
What's going on, Tom? I'm doing well. Hello, everyone listening. And how are you doing, Tom? You look like you got a little tan today.
No, well, I wish I had a little bit of a tan. I think it's just a natural glow of just the sun being out. I think my face is so foreign to sun being out these days that just being outside for a little bit, it just naturally made me tan.
So. That's exactly what I aim for, because every weekend here in South Texas, it's been cloudy and wet and rainy, and I'm ready to get back outside, but it just hasn't been in the cards. And so no one can see the video, but I am looking pretty pale right now.
Yeah. So, I'm with you on that. And, you know, I never really was a big buy-in into seasonal depression until the past year and a half, 2 years, when it's rained so much in Northern Virginia and it really does affect my mood. So I am a firm believer that affects me and affects a lot of other people. I need that sun. I really need that sun.
Yeah, it's amazing how we're created for that kind of thing.
Yeah, that is so true. So, Justin, it is great to have you back on the podcast. It's been really a really long time since you've been on the podcast, so I'm really glad we were able to make this work today.
Yeah, I think the last time I was on, I was still church marketing school, I think, and then I merged into Church Training Academy, or it was like right at the time we were merging.
Yeah.
So it's been at least a year and a half.
Yeah. So how are things going there? Because you guys, I mean, I see you and Dave all the time on things. Like how are things going? What are you guys talking about? What are you excited about?
Yeah. So Church Training Academy, you'll hear me call it CTA for short. We're all about teaching churches how to use and exploit technology to get the message out. Because the primary mission of the church, the primary vision of the church should be to spread the gospel to your city, to your state, to your country, to the world. And increasingly more technology is playing a role in our communications. And so we just want to teach churches how to leverage that and use that for our advantage to spread the gospel, because it's no longer about, you know, us versus them as far as technology is, you know, kind of like the Jesus movement embraced rock and roll. We're entering a time in human history where we need to embrace digital communications. And I'm sure your audience knows all that. So that's pretty much what we talk about. We lean heavy on live streaming, podcasting, websites. We do a little bit of social media. We're fixing to get hit real hard on email marketing. So all the digital tools that you can use and strategy, that's really what we hammer on really hard.
Yeah. And I love your content. I mean, I love what you guys do. You guys are on a lot. And so I think it's fantastic what you guys do. And I'll have links to all your stuff in the show notes for people to connect with you and Church Training Academy. And Dave, we'll throw Dave a bone on this one too.
Let's do it. I mean, he's got to come on after that. I think he came on your show a couple weeks after I did. So yeah. Let's keep par for the course and let's get him on here.
Yeah, that would be great. Actually, I'll reach out to him right after this then. Hey, you are my website guy. I like to hit you up on website stuff. You actually did a website audit for me, for a free website audit for me probably a few months ago on Digital Bootcamp. And it was very embarrassing because you highlighted some really crucial things. I thought, oh my gosh, this is This is gold. You had some really great stuff. So you're my website guru. How do you feel about that?
I love it. I'm excited. Unfortunately, I just don't have the ability to do those for free anymore, because I used to be able to just like sit down and just really hammer out. But with everything picking up and, you know, making sure that I save time for my family, you know, it. I love hearing stories like that because it reminds me why I do what I do.
Yeah.
And it helps justify, honestly, that, you know, this is something that's worth payment now, because unfortunately I have to charge for it. It's no longer free. So I'm glad you got into that, and I'm glad it helped you out.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely, it was well worth the money. Just kidding. It was actually, I would have paid a lot of money for that, because you have great insight. So let's get into the topic that I want to talk about today. Website trends. You've got a handle on it, and the pulse of the website stuff and what's going on. What are some trends that are you seeing right now that churches need to be made aware of right now?
Yeah, so there's two really big ones, and boy, these are big. You hear the term big, hairy goals, you know, the biggest, baddest goals that you want to achieve in the year. These are the biggest things you got to shoot for with your website. And they are the first two are the most important. So I'm going to hammer on them pretty hard.
Okay.
But have no fear, because I am going to hammer on some details. And I apologize if you can hear my dogs barking in the background. I'm home alone and they're waiting for mama to come home any minute now. So bear with me on these first ones, but rest assured, they are the most important. So, Tom, for 2019, the number one thing your church website needs to worry about, the number one thing, if you're handling the church website, before the design, before the content, before anything else, you need to figure out, is your church website fast? Okay? Fast, by definition, in internet terms, is 3 seconds or less.
Okay.
Because the greatest website in the world, objectively, means squat if no one will see it, because it takes 20 seconds to load.
Yeah.
Right. Dare I say 10 seconds to load, because number one, Google wants to see your website be fast. Okay. They did an update to their search algorithm, or whatever you want to call it, last July, I believe, 2018. And they started saying, look, we want your websites to be fast because we want to get answers to our searchers fast. People searching for churches in your town, they're looking for an answer. Google wants to get them to them as fast as possible. That's good customer service.
Yeah.
So if your website takes 10 seconds to load, that helps no one, right? 10 seconds in internet time is like 5 years. So you got to be faster than that, okay?
Right.
Not only that, there's statistics out there. Every second past 3 seconds, the rate at which people will leave your site goes up by 10%. So when you get to around 3 seconds, about half the people have already clicked that back button. Okay. So if your website takes 3 seconds to load, 100 people click on your website, 50 of them will leave after 3 seconds. Yep. And then 60% of them will leave after 4 seconds. There's a lot of math here. 70%, 5 seconds. So before you get concerned with anything else, you need to audit your website speed. There's a couple ways you can do that. Number one is you can go to Pingdom. That's P-I-N-G-D-O-M. Just Google it, Pingdom speed test. Run your website through there, and it'll tell you how many seconds it takes to load. The other one you can use is Google Page Speed Insights. I'm getting technical here, but just do it, okay?
Yeah,
it's very simple to look at. And that's what Google is using to check your website. They look at a little bit more of the technical stuff, Google does. Pingdom will tell you your website's great. It loads in 1.7 seconds. And then Google will tell you it's slow, it's coded wrong, the CSS isn't minimized. Just get an audit of where you are, okay? That's all you got to do. That's all I'm asking you to do right now after listening to the show. Scroll down to the show notes, click those links, and audit. Plug in your website and see how fast it loads. Once you do that, then you can start to figure out how you're going to optimize that. That's going to come based on your platform. Okay, so if you're on Squarespace, you're probably just going to have to minimize your pictures, shrink them down, compress them, maybe move some stuff around so stuff isn't loading right at the top. If you're on WordPress, you're going to have to do some speed plugins and other things to monitor that. One of the things that I take pride in is my websites. They're already optimized. My clients don't have to do anything, but that's a paid luxury. So if you're not paying for your website, if an agency is not running your website, you're going to have to spend some time with it. But again, that is the most important thing. If you say, I only have 5 minutes to listen to this show, you're good to go. Go do this. You're pretty much set for most of the way. Okay. So that, Tom, is number one. Speed is everything.
Yeah. And I will just say, chime in this again, you're the expert here. I can just tell you from my experiences working on some website stuff, but also if I'm trying to go to a website and it does take a while, like I'm hitting the refresh button or I'm just closing out that thing, I'm not going to wait that long. Again, that's my ADD world. But again, you're saying that it's everybody, you know, that we need fast websites, and if they're not loading up quick, then people are turning away. So that's really important stuff there. But then I would also say, just a technical point, I agree with you 100% about the pictures. I've learned over the past year, your picture size slows up your website processing huge. So you got to shrink those size. Size does matter, you know? So it does slow things up.
It does. That beautiful picture of the Grand Canyon, that's your background. Hopefully if you're a Colorado church and no other state, that's great. The fact that it's 13 megabytes big is bad.
Yes. Yeah.
My general rule, I try to get every picture under 1 megabyte. And if I can get it under 500 kilobytes, I'm happy. Okay. Yeah. So that's a general rule for your pictures. Now you said something real quick and then we're going to move on, because again, I'm hammering speed so much because this is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. You said that, you know, you feel like you're ADD because you click a website, it's not loading, you're hitting the refresh, you're clicking the back button. You realize it's everyone. The 3-second rule, that's actually Google's rule. Mm-hmm. Studies have been done, and the most recent one, I believe, was from StoryBrand, said that you actually only have 1.7 seconds to capture someone's attention. So if your website honestly does not load in 1.7 seconds, you are even more out of luck. You might be hitting that one out of every four people are bouncing back, because we want information and we want it now. Not only that, it has to load that fast on mobile data. Okay. People at the grocery store in the checkout line that see your Facebook ad, they're not going to wait longer than 2 seconds. Okay. That's an impulse thing. They're going out. Okay. Their impulse buy is M&Ms. They'll impulse click your Facebook ad in the checkout line. If it doesn't load fast, they're on to the next thing. Okay.
And because we're increasingly a more mobile generation, where we're looking on our websites, not on desktops, but on our browsers, on our phones, right?
Fantastic. Yes. And that actually leads me to my second point. At least once you audit your speed and know where you're at, you're aware of what improvement you may or may not need to make. Number two thing you need to focus on is mobile browsing, mobile first. So many of my clients are very surprised when they get their first month of analytics and they see that 60% of their traffic is coming from mobile devices. That's cell phones. That might be iPads on cell data. Depending on how your analytics does it, mine actually breaks it down by phone, tablet, and computer. But they're very surprised that 60% of the people that are coming to their website are coming to it from a phone. Okay, so that means it is no longer okay, Tom, to look at your website on your computer and say, that looks great. And then you look at it on your phone and you say, that looks pretty good. It needs to be the opposite now. Now it needs to be, your phone needs to look great. And look at me, viewers. Look at me, listeners. I know you got me in your ears, but look at me, okay? Designing websites for mobile phones is boring. It's so boring. You look at every website on a phone, they all look the same. Colored background, white text, maybe some nice pictures, all blocky on top of each other. It's boring, but it works, okay? And a lot of people in our space, they're all about the creativity, and more power to you, and you can be super creative on desktop. If it slows down your mobile experience, if it makes it look bad, if you have to pinch and zoom because that beautiful picture takes up the whole screen, it's a bad experience. So mobile first. Your website has to look better on mobile than desktop. I know it's totally backwards. It's like telling folks in our circles, hey, you need to shoot your video. You need to shoot it vertically now because people are watching on an iPhone. They don't want to turn their phone sideways. It doesn't look as good, I know, and it's more boring and it's less professional, but it works.
Okay, so wait, I want to hit that because that is something I've heard recently about the portrait mode and not landscape. So you want to record on portrait mode, not landscape anymore. Is that correct?
That's my take. Dave will tell you the opposite. Yeah. I think a lot of our CTA insiders will tell you the opposite because, again, we live in a horizontal world. So you do want to, you know, you do want to record horizontally, especially if you're doing it semi-professionally, professionally, even if you want to do a good job taking it with your phone. I snoop on my wife when she's watching videos on her phone. She never rotates her phone. Even if there's a wide angle video, 16:9, she will hold it up like this, straight up and down, and watch it that way because she does not think about rotating her phone. So if you want the better experience and buffers, there's a very famous buffer survey on this. You get more engagement from square videos and vertical videos than you do sideways videos. That's beside the point here, but you asked, so I wanted an answer.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good insights. And I think, again, because a lot of women are watching videos and stuff like that, and they will care about the portrait stuff. I think that's a really interesting, we're going to have to come back to that on another time. Okay. But I want to
have Dave in the show a couple weeks and he can disagree with
yes. That. Okay. There you go. Okay. I want to talk about this. Is it called responsive website? Is that what it is? Or you talk about a mobile first? Not a plugin, but is that a format, or is it called the responsive? Do you know what I'm talking about? You want a website that's responsive, like so it can shrink to mobile and but also look good on a desktop.
Yeah. So basically, when you hear mobile first, it means two things. Number one, it could mean that you're designing for the phone and only the phone, and then you take that design and you put it on the desktop. That's kind of where it originated. But to me, the way I use it, and I take liberty with this, mobile first means you care about how it looks on mobile more than it looks on desktop. If someone tells me, hey, there's something weird about the desktop, about the website on computer, I'd be like, okay, I'll get on that. And then when they say, oh, something looks weird on the phone, I will say, okay, I'm going to get on that right now. Okay. Because more people, it will affect more people, if something's wrong with the phone.
Yeah.
So to answer your question about responsive design, basically responsive design is providing an optimal viewing experience no matter what type of device the end user is seeing it on. So whether it's on a computer, on a tablet, on a laptop, because our computers are getting bigger and our laptops are kind of getting smaller sometimes. You know, they got a 27-inch iMac and then they got a 13-inch MacBook, and then they got a 7-inch iPad and then a 4.5-inch phone. So it's not saying that your website looks the same across every device, but it's saying that you are providing the most optimal viewing experience across every device. Then you also have adaptive web design, and that's basically there isn't one layout. There's different layouts for multiple screens. Okay. So you might have a separate mobile website versus your desktop website. That's a little different than responsive, but most people will go with responsive because the website will be the same. It just kind of stacks itself in different ways.
Okay.
So basically, no matter what the screen is, you will get an optimal experience, which brings me to a couple notes I have here. So when you have a responsive website, there should be no squinting. Okay. There should be no pulling out your phone and going to your church website, and then you got to pinch and zoom, or you got to kind of look really closely. You know, if you got the bifocals, you're looking down your nose and scrolling. There is none of that. Okay. When it's mobile first, your nice, crisp, desktop font might be bigger on mobile, so it's easier to see. Also one thing, just real quick, something that I don't see a lot of people talking about. People on mobile, thanks to Facebook, they want to scroll. Okay. You go into Facebook and you want to see more content. You don't click around, you want to scroll. So don't try to put one thing on every page, like you would on a desktop site. When you design for mobile, you want to have, I shouldn't be telling you this, but I'm going to tell it anyways. You want to have what I call a scrolling, navigation homepage, which basically means take most of the stuff in your navigation menu, put it on your homepage in a way that you can scroll. So typically you might have your homepage, you might have your about page, you might have your ministries page, events page, and then contact page. Take those items and stack them on top of each other on your homepage. So when they land on your page, they say, boom, come experience exactly who you're supposed to be at Bill and Ted's Excellent Church.
Oh, that's a great church.
Right. And then they say, oh, that's interesting. Let me learn more. They're not going to go clicking around like a chicken. Okay. They're going to scroll.
Yep.
And so they scroll down a little bit. Right. Bill and Ted's Excellent Church was found in Gatesville, Texas, because we need a church for the people that has simple language and simple folk leading the church. Click here to learn more. And that's their about page, right? It takes them to the about page that expands on that information. Yeah. They scroll down a little bit more. Here's our three top ministries. Here's our three main ministries. Usually it's kids, students, adult groups or something like that. It's a highlight. Then they click on it and they click on what they like and they can learn more. Or they keep scrolling. I'm still interested. What else you got for me, Bill and Ted's Church? Hey, here's our upcoming Easter egg hunt. Oh, that's nice. They can click on it and go learn. That's their micro commitment. Or they can say, what else you got for me? They scroll down and then they see your contact, not exactly your contact page, but maybe they see, do you require special accommodations? Let us know. You know, we'll let you know if we're handy accessible, if you have any allergic concerns for your kids. People want to scroll down. And if your website is like one finger flick down and they're at the footer, they're just going to assume you don't have very much going on. So when I say mobile first, I'm talking about no scrolling, make sure it looks good on all devices. No squinting, make sure it looks good on all devices, and go ahead and let them scroll. Build a longer homepage. Hey, you'll get a lot more time and a lot more investment out of people for that.
I really like that, Justin. In fact, I've seen a few churches that I've gone on my phone, and I've seen their website, and it has been just like that. You scroll, and I'm like, it looks really cool, to be honest. I mean, I like the feel of it. And there's more pictures on there, and it's very cool visually, and it's easy to find. And so you speaking this is like, okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I've really enjoyed those websites that I've gone to.
Yeah, let me give you one more quick, just super quick tip. Yeah. If this seems like it's all over your head, I get it. You're not alone. That's why Church Training Academy is here. But this I know you can do. Number three thing you need on your website for 2019, if it's not already there already, for the church websites that I audit, it's about 50-50. You need a Google map on your website. You need a Google map with a pin drop where it has your address, okay? And then it has your address, maybe a contact number, and then maybe a button that says get directions, and it actually opens up the Google Maps app, whether on your desktop or on your phone. This is just a good practice for people. I recommend after your home on your homepage, you have that big, hey, welcome to our church. Click here if you want to watch our welcome video or listen to a sermon. Right after they scroll from there, if it's not already visible, have your map, your address, and your service times. The map is just a good call sign for Google, especially when it's a Google map. Most websites, they can put a Google map for you on your website. It's just a widget or a plugin. Worst case, you go find your address in Google Maps. You can get an embed code and put it in there. It's just a good practice and a quick win for all your listeners. So if you do nothing else, what you should do is you should audit your speed. You should think about how your phone looks on mobile. Excuse me, your website looks on your phone. And then go put a Google Map on your site if it's not already there. That's a super quick win.
Dude, that is awesome. And that makes a lot of sense in this day and age, especially if you're looking for directions. You click on that map and it gets you right from where you are to your church. And I think that's actually really, I think we don't have that on my church website. So I got to look at
that. Get it on there. The other thing that really helps with that too, and this is a selfish thing. If I look at your website on Friday or Saturday, I might click to see where you, I see the map and I say, well, let me see directions. I click on it. Mm-hmm. It opens up Google Maps. I see where you are. I have the directions. Guess what I don't have to do on Sunday? On Sunday morning, I don't have to go find your website again. What do most people do? They go into Google Maps and they look in their history and they find the directions there, because I already searched for it on Friday. It's going to be in my all I have to do is scroll up a little bit and it says, you searched for General Cho's Chicken on Saturday. And hey, Bill and Ted's Excellent Church on Friday. Oh, that's what I want. That's where I want to go. It's even faster than trying to remember, when was their website again? Let me go churches in Dallas. I think it was number 5 or 6, or maybe it was 2. Which one was it that I remember? No, I wanted directions to, it's super easy to pull up right inside of Google Maps history.
Dude, that is awesome. This has been fantastic, Justin. Some great tips here, some simple ones I think that are easy for us to do. That's fantastic. Justin, thanks so much for joining me. Before I let you go, though, How can people get in touch with you? I know you've got a ton of great stuff that you got on for websites. So how can people connect with you? Share your social accounts and some resources.
I am everywhere at justinnava.com. At justinnava. So facebook.com, twitter.com, instagram.com/justinnava. There you'll find more of my website stuff, which is mainly aimed towards local business, but most of it applies for churches too. If you want to get church specific stuff, you can find me at Church Training Academy. Again, we're Church Training Academy on Facebook and YouTube. And then the best way is actually if you go to the website, betterchurchwebsite.com. That's Better Church Website. It's one website, betterchurchwebsite.com. You can get our free guide, 7 Church Website Essentials, which has, I think, 6 more things. Oh, speed is one of them. It has 6 more things that we didn't even get into. Awesome. It's totally free. And what happens is when you download that guide, you will typically get an email from me about 3 hours later after you download the guide. And it says, hey, did you get it? Do you have any questions? Do you have anything specific just for Tom's audience? Because I can't do this for everyone. When you get that email, just reply back to it and say, I heard you on Tom's podcast and I had this quick question. Okay. Yeah. I may not be able to give you a full website audit like Tom did, but maybe I'll give you one thing if you get me on a happy day.
Yeah, that's great. And hey, you're happy a lot of the times, Justin.
I really am.
So this has been fantastic. I will definitely have all those links on the show notes, especially betterchurchwebsite.com. I think that's awesome. Your resources are fantastic, and you are my website guru. So I appreciate it, Justin. Thanks so much for joining me today, man.
You're very welcome, Tom. Thank you, everyone, for taking some time to listen to little old me.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Justin. And I'm not lying. Anytime I have a website question or anytime someone on the Digital Bootcamp Facebook group has a website question, he's one I tag on it because I know he's got the answer. He's much more ingrained in it. Again, I love digital tools. I love technology. But websites, I'm still learning so much. And having him on sharing about some of the things that are trending right now are so important. So I'm curious to hear from you. What stood out to you for that conversation? What trend stood out to you? What was something that maybe you see as a trend that we didn't mention? I would love to hear your thoughts on it. So definitely go on Twitter and hit me up. I'm at TA Pounder. I would love to carry this conversation on a little bit further. So share your thoughts with us there on Twitter. I'd love to hear it. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick podcast. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, definitely go to iTunes and subscribe to it, or you can go to ymsidekick.com. It is there that I have my blog, my podcast, some vlogs. I've got my Twitter ebook on there, as well as information about Digital Bootcamp, the free Facebook group that is for all ministers who want to learn digital tools and tech tips to kind of expand their reach. You got to go to Digital Bootcamp on Facebook. There's a link there to it. It's a fantastic group, and we got a ton of great influencers on there and sharing some great insights. So we'd love for you to be a part of that. So you can get all of that at ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.